From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, remembering Joe Ely.
Friends, and I said, I heard there's a pandemic, and everybody went, well, what is that? You know, because you don't go through those all the time. And so all of a sudden, it was just like in slow motion, like something just tumbling in slow motion.
Support for this podcast of Texas Matters comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. By investing in local communities and rewarding policyholders for prioritizing safety, they are building a more resilient Texas. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas lost a Flatlander troubadour, Joe Ely. The Amarillo native established himself as a songwriter's songwriter and a musician's musician who sidestepped mainstream popularity but nevertheless attracted a devoted fan base and legions of famous admirers. Ely died at 78 on December 15th due to complications of Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's, and pneumonia. We're going to listen back to an interview with Ely, but I should note that this was recorded in April of 2020 during the COVID pandemic. Like everyone else in that moment, Ely struggled to find a new normal in the time of coronavirus. Many of us baked sourdough bread, but Ely produced an album that is a time capsule of those days. The result is Love in the Midst of Mayhem. Texas Public Radio's Yvette Benavides spoke to Joe Ely from his home near Austin about Love in the Midst of Mayhem.
Don't worry about it. Don't even try. No reason to fight. No reason to lie. Don't worry about it. It ain't worth the sigh. Don't worry about it. Just close your eyes. They told you all the world was watching.
What was the moment when you thought, we're in a pandemic, I'm going to make a new album?
Well, I think that it was just, there was such a contrast from, that all of a sudden just everything seemed to change. Cars quit moving around and, the whole world just kind of seemed to zip up. And I guess, I would talk to friends and I'd say, I heard there's a pandemic and it's like everybody went, well, what is that? You know, because you don't go through those all the time. And so all of a sudden it was just like in slow motion, like something just tumbling in slow motion. And the scope of it at first didn't seem to be real. And then it got more and more real. It was like a slow motion reverse picture of some kind, you know. And that was early first couple of days, and we kind of just hunkered down and thinking it would just blow over in a few days, and then it just the news just got worse and worse.
It did, and I'm thinking about all the ways that in these long periods of self-isolation, where you think things might get better, and you see that they're just not. That to make a studio album with a lot of different musicians could be a really intimidating prospect.
Well, the first problem was exactly what you said, how to gather the source material together. And since everything was kind of locked down in place and was urged not to travel anywhere, that meant I had one recourse, and that was to do everything within or as close as I could to my house, which I have a studio together, but I didn't use it that much because I went back and found places that I had recorded before. I've been working on one record for about 3 years now. And, you know, I had it almost finished, but it just didn't have the substance of what was happening in the day-to-day arena of the music world, which was slowly changing before my eyes as well. And that changed my focus over to going through things that I had worked on before that fit in. The title came kind of real early in this album. Usually I wait and title it after it's completely finished. But the title came, Love in the Midst of Mayhem, kind of just felt like what was happening outside. And so then I looked for material that I had worked on at my studio is full of, you know, recordings in all different stages. And mainly I just cataloged through my catalog and started picking out songs to work on.
The title of the album is kind of perfect. And then I'm looking at the song titles here. They tell a little bit of a story too. The one I hope is prophetic is Soon All Your Sorrows Will Be Gone, which might be my favorite track on the album.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one was actually started years ago and just finished for this record.
They say that the world is hard. Oh, but I know it's true. Full of pain and misery, grief and sorrow too. But in between those darker days and the place that it belongs, my love, your heart and soul overflow, and soon all your sorrows be gone. They say the earth came from chaos, lightning, hail, and rain. The sea, they say, is a pool of tears, and a song is a poet's pain. But when the storms are over, if you can just wait that long, my love, your heart and soul overflow, and soon all your sorrows be gone, heart and soul, and your sorrows be gone, overflow, and you're never alone, heart and soul, and your sorrows be gone, overflow, and you're never alone.
What's the story behind that song?
Well, I started writing it in New York City when I was kind of broke and down on my luck, and I was kind of staying downtown in a theater prop room, and I just started working on a melody for that song, and got a nice melody, but I put it away because I was working on another record, and I just completely forgot about putting it away. In fact, I'd brought it out several times, and but the pace of the record changed, and it just didn't fit in with it. And then this time, all the pieces were exactly right. So I just kind of put it together and found a rhythm, found a key, and changed the melody a little bit. It kind of, you know, fits in with different tragedies that have befallen us in over the last 15 or 20 years, including 9/11 and the stock market crash and all those things. And this song kept coming back, but I never put it on a record until just now. So I'm kind of glad I waited because it found a real nice spot.
It did. And I'm thinking about the way that 9/11 and a lot of these situations that we've all endured produce these sorts of subgenres in literature and in music and in art. It just underscores the idea that music and art remain this cathartic and necessary thing for us to endure the worst of it.
Yeah, I agree. That's that was the first thing that kind of I hit up against was the kind of the theme of the record. And, you know, there's a tendency to have, when something bad like that happens, to have anger in return or something. And, of course, that's exactly the wrong way to go, you know. And so that was where I made the first big switch, was finding songs that were, like, you know, full of life and hope and everything in this such dark days. And it didn't appear so dark until you started seeing the weight of it, and that it was a worldwide disease, you know, not just a citywide or statewide or like a thunderstorm or a, you know, something. It was huge, universal. And so that really set the pace, and found songs, and then got with my engineer and see if they could be mixed and if they were ready to go or needed more work. And so I just started working like that, like looking at it, kind of backing off, first under a microscope and kind of backing off into this universal strange, as Terry Allen calls it, the pandemic. But it's, you know, and that was kind of the theme of presenting our fellow human beings in a good light, and in a hopeful light of that things will get better.
That's such an interesting idea to hear you talk about it that way as a songwriter. So I find that in literature and in nonfiction, that when we focus on the most granular detail and we think that no one else will be able to relate to it, that's when it becomes so universally appreciated. So there it is again. You know, and looking at the songs on the album, so I couldn't help but think about all of the resonances around the pandemic while I listened to the tracks. But then I started to think about the other titles of your work, like Love and Danger. Like, that is such a place where we are. And for me, because I'm originally from Laredo, Letter to Laredo, 1,000 miles from home.
Oh, yeah.
All just to get to you, all that. So I'm just seeing that sort of that granular focusing in on something that maybe didn't even have anything to do with the pandemic hold such a powerful resonance now. And that's just the power of art.
Well, yeah, it's looking at things from different perspectives. Two people can see the same thing taking place and reporting it totally different, you know, in a different light. And there were times when I was working on this, the different pieces of the puzzle, I kind of drifted off to another place, and I thought, well, I can't do that. But then I'd step back and say, wait a minute, that opened up another door. And it wasn't just pulling me away. It was actually changing my direction in a different way, because I started understanding it more. And so that does not happen too often on records, where you're the whole theme, you kind of look at it from a different light and see what's appropriate and what's not.
Cry, my baby, cry. Let the rain fall from your eyes. You should have thought about the consequence of a love that never made no sense at all. Listen to the rain.
I can appreciate the songs, and the song titles are Don't Worry About It, You Can Rely on Me, but also Cry. It's like, it's not just Soon All Your Sorrows Will Be Gone, but we've got to sort of feel our way through what we're experiencing. It, that Cry is a particularly cathartic song, I think, for me.
Yeah, that, you know, that just kind of has a tension that, builds up the whole song and then kind of lets out a big scream at the end. And that's, you know, kind of what your tendencies are when you come to a point where that you've never been before. And there's such, you know, intimacy and just passion and a lot of fear, too, that all combines to one emotion and kind of lets out a scream to let it all go.
Can you think about the day, very soon, hopefully, when you will be playing these songs, these 10 songs, live?
It's funny. I have thought of that, of what I'm going to do when I start playing out again. And I haven't come to any conclusion yet. I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do when I reach that point, because I'm still kind of immersed in the day-to-day and trying to, you know, stay in the present tense and not look at too much in the future tense, because it's so, like Joe Strummer said, the future is unwritten. And that's what we're going through now, the unwritten part.
Is there something that you're really missing about playing live right now?
Well, no, to tell you the truth, the Love record is finished and out there. I still feel like I'm going to go on and dig through these other songs that haven't never been recorded, and a whole different batch of them, and just kind of see what doors they might open.
I don't know how to go about to tell you I love you, to show you I care. Whenever you need me, I'll always be there. You can rely. This world, and I can't deny no river.
I've been reading a lot about how writers are having a difficult time writing right now and creating anything.
It's hard to write, yeah.
What do you find? Are you finding that too, writing new songs?
Well, these the few songs that I've wrote from the ground up on this record, kind of opened some other doors, and that's what I'm going to explore while everything is shut down and everybody's staying in and kind of watching it all take place. And so I'm not really ready to go back out into it. So I uncovered last night, me and my wife uncovered some kind of song themes that would be kind of nice to explore. And so I'm going to, it is hard to write. I agree with that. But I think it's possible then. I think if it's possible, then I think it's a good place to start to, at least to keep your mind off of, you know, the end of the world.
Once I lived my life in the glare of glory, alone on the stage, just a song and a story. I drank the wine colored starry night, fell from the sky in the morning light. I swallowed my pain with the floodlight dying. I stood in the rain, my eyes were crying. I was the fool who painted rainbow. I was betrayed by the thorns on the rose. Hey, hey, take me back.
Well, Love in the Midst of Mayhem is this. You know, it's such an unlikely thing to just come forth to not just your fans, but to people who love music and maybe are discovering your work for the first time, because we're all looking for answers. We're all looking for solace and comfort and compassion. What do you hope listeners will remember when this thing is over about Love in the Midst of Mayhem?
Well, I hope that that it is kind of a letter, a kind of a something to open up our minds to whatever it is out there that might bring peace and understanding. 'Cause right now it's bringing more things into question than it is answering questions. But I think that's the first step to understanding is to question it. And I think everyone is kind of looking to each other for answers. And it'll be interesting to see what form those take. I'll be interesting to see what kind of movies are going to happen because of this, because of millions of people kind of being dumbfounded as to what's really going on. And I'm anxious to see what kind of other art forms are going to take place, that might, give some answers to these hard questions.
Do you have a favorite song on this album?
Oh, it changes a lot. I was glad to get the song Garden of Manhattan. I was glad to get it finished and all, because that was kind of took place from the streets of Manhattan, which has been especially hard hit. And because it's so many people, this kind of focuses on one street person. There's a woman street person that carries her bags around Manhattan and sees a big fire and a light coming down the street, and she thinks it's the second coming of Christ, and actually it's the 9/11 cloud of dust and ash. And that kind of opened up in a different way than I thought it would, and it actually fit in a strange sort of way with the rest of the songs.
In the Garden of Manhattan, she plants her seeds among the weeds where the dreamers all come to fatten. In the Garden of Manhattan, in the Garden of Manhattan, she looks to the Garden of Manhattan, to the skies of glass where dreamers pass on the ferry across from Staten.
You've been all over. Do you think about the way other places, specific places, have been affected?
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah, I feel really strongly about images on TV and all places that I've traveled to. I've done a lot of traveling in Italy, and I know all of those pictures that come up on the screen, and you know, spent a lot of time in New York and all these places, and what different people are planning to do. You know, where they're moving to, where the food is going to come from. What happens if this is, you know, a bigger depression than the Great Depression, which all of my family lived in the Dust Bowl up in Amarillo and Lubbock during that time. So there's so many flashes of pictures that that come across the screen that remind me of all the places I've played in, I've traveled, and theaters that I've played in, and now just sitting here trying to fill up that empty space with memories, or, you know, memories of songs that you played there, and they're kind of still echoing around inside the theater. The streets that you've walked down and that are no longer have any people on them. So yeah, it's opened up a whole new kind of way of approaching a song or a day or a minute or an instant. You know, it's all very surreal.
Joe Ely, thank you so much for talking to me.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure. Glad you asked those questions.
There's never been a story told that no one would believe, like there's never been a hand to hold that no one would receive. There's never been a season yet that never had an end. There's never been a reason yet lovers to pretend. There's never been a baby born without the eagle flying, like there's never been
Joe Ely died on December 15th due to complications of Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's, and pneumonia. TPR's Yvette Benavides interviewed Ely in April of 2020 about his album Love in the Midst of Mayhem. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. Find us wherever you get cool podcasts. And be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.